Are you playing the market, or is the market playing you?
You done taken a wrong turn.
The Money Life Market Call helps you answer the question by discussing what's working in the investment world right now.
It's working. It's working. It's working.
It's real guidance about real investments from real experts.
I play at expert level.
You might find that next great investment you were looking for, or hear that it's time to sell something you expected to hold on to.
Let it go.
You'll learn how investment pros make decisions and what they see for the future.
See your future. Be your future.
You may be excited one moment and angry or frustrated the next.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
But that's just life in the market, as Chuck Jaffe talks stocks, mutual funds, and more.
I can live with that.
In the Daily Money Life Market Call.
Oh yes, it's Money Life Market Call time, and I'm pleased to be joined again today by Martin LeClaire. He is the Chief Investment Officer and a Portfolio Manager for Barrick Yard Advisors. If you are not familiar with the firm and you want to get more information, BarrickYard.com, B-A-R-R-A-C-K, BarrickYard.com. They're on Twitter, at Barrick Yard. But right now, Martin's back on Money Life. Martin LeClaire, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
It is, because I love giving my audience exposure to money managers who have, it's not necessarily a unique take on the market, but it is one that you are especially dedicated to. And it's not everybody's take. So explain what goes into it so that they understand when you're talking about a buy or a sell, what it is that you're actually looking for.
Sure. So I would say, first of all, we kind of swing from the value side of the plate. So that's to put the cards on the table from right away. And primarily because we're governed by what we call the five enduring principles. First of all, valuations matters. The price you pay for any asset determines the future rate of return. So you can overpay for a really quality asset and lose money. For example, if you bought Microsoft and Cisco and Oracle as a package back in the year 2000 at the wrong time, it would have taken you until like last year before you would have broken even on that investment. So, and all of them are wonderful companies and have grown nicely and so forth. The other side of the coin is you can buy a crummy asset, and if you get it cheap enough, you can make money. So valuations matter. Number two, cash flow is king. We are an investment firm, and we define an investment as any asset that produces income. An asset that doesn't produce income is a speculation. So examples of speculations would not only be precious metals and commodities and things like that, but also companies that trade on the New York Stock Exchange that have negative cash flow. Those are all speculations. The third thing is we're long-term investors, and we don't confuse volatility, which is the price of the stock, the quoted price of the stock going up and down. We don't confuse that with risk, because risk is really, we look to the underlying business. And risk is what happens to that underlying business. If that underlying business continues to prosper and do well in the future, then eventually you'll make money owning the shares. The fourth thing that we really focus in on, and is probably the maybe our secret sauce, is we focus on predictive attributes. And an example of that would be in your personal life, if you eat well and you exercise every day, you will probably, over the long term, have better health results than somebody who lives on a diet of junk food and doesn't exercise at all. Now, you know, you could be born with bad genes, you could be hit by a bus, so there's no guarantee, but you get the idea that there are attributes, there are factors that in the past have led to positive outcomes in the future, and those are the things we focus on, and as you add them all together, then it can be a powerful long-term success story. And then finally, we believe that careful investment selection is better than random diversification. And that is a very controversial statement, because people today are propagandized to think that you should own the market as opposed to just owning very good companies chosen for your specific needs.
When you talk about value and the importance of value, how important is absolute value versus relative value? Because the market while you can't necessarily say it's wildly overpriced, it certainly is not value priced by pretty much anybody's reading. So are you having a tough time finding value, or are you willing to consider value on a sliding scale?
Well, we're global investors, so we look to other developed markets around the globe where they have the rule of law. So, for example, Switzerland, the European Union, Singapore, Hong Kong, for example. In those markets, we're finding a lot of cheap stocks. And they could be cheap for a reason, but there is value there. Also, the interesting thing about the United States is that if you strip out the so-called FANG stocks, you know, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google, that group of stocks, which have been doing, you know, unbelievably well this year, the rest of the market really hasn't done that well. So that's a long way of saying that, you know, there's still companies that quality businesses selling at reasonable prices in the United States. They're not as reasonably priced as they were a few years ago. And in many instances, they're not as reasonably priced as we would like. But if you're a long-term investor, there are things you can own even at these levels.
Well, let's talk about that. What is an example of kind of the poster child for what you want to own?
So what we like to do is, broadly speaking, is own companies where insiders have a lot of skin in the game. On the one hand, so, you know, all the things that that implies, or blue chips that are out of favor. And so the example of a company that has a lot of insider ownership, and the attractive thing about that is that just from a common sense point of view, you know, who would you rather have as your next door neighbor? A person who owns their house or someone who's renting the house? And I think most people would say, you know, the odds are that if the person owns it, they'll get better care of the property. And so that's why sort of, you know, commonsensically why insider ownership is key. So an example of that, there's a company down in Richmond called Markel Corp. And they are a very interesting company. They talk about managing the business for the long term and for right now. And they have the luxury, because of heavy insider ownership, to really run the business the way they want to run it and don't have to worry about Wall Street or the press and that sort of thing. And the company is a specialty insurance company that has an enviable track record of only making money when they write insurance. That's been their experience for the past many years. And on top of that, they have an investment business that's run by a fellow named Tom Gaynor, who's in his early 50s, and he has one of the best investment track records in terms of being an asset allocator. So that would be an example. It's currently selling for about 1.5 times book value, which doesn't sound particularly cheap. However, in history, if you paid 1.5 times book value, you eventually did fine as a long-term holder. So that would be an example of an American company of insider ownership and meeting a bunch of other boxes in terms of what's important to us. An example of a blue chip company that's out of favor would be CVS. CVS, most people think of as being the corner drugstore, and it is that, but that's only about 25% of their business. About 3/4 of their business is in the pharmacy, as a pharmacy benefits manager. And that's a business that has recently been under some controversy. One of their competitors has recently lost a big account. And so that's dragged down all the stocks. But CVS is a company which has grown at double-digit rates in terms of its dividend, in terms of its earnings. And they have a very strong balance sheet. You know, it's A-plus rated for quality by S&P, A-plus-plus for financial strength by Valueline. Right now you can buy it at a big discount to where it was, and also at a discount to the market. The average stock right now is trading for about 18 to 20 times earnings. They're trading for 13 times earnings. And the dividend's 2.5%, which is attractive, I think, in this market. And the dividend goes up every year. And from everything I've read, I don't see there's any reason why it won't double its dividend in the next, you know, 7 to 10 years or sooner.
And now we're going to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
play Hold It.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or Fold It.
Know when to fold up.
We've come to Hold It or Fold It time with Martin LeClaire, the Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors, which is online at barrickyard.com and on Twitter at Barrick Yard. You know how Hold It or Fold It works, so we're going to just jump straight into it, starting with a request we got from John in Seattle and Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland. They both wanted to know about Starwood Property Trust. That's ticker symbol STWD.
Well, Starwood is a mortgage real estate investment trust, and what they invest in are commercial mortgages. And they're best of breed. They're one of the best mortgage investors out there. And that's probably about 70% of their business. The rest of their business is they actually own commercial buildings outright, as well as they have a servicing business, which is profitable. The book value is like 17 and a quarter. The stock's trading in the low 20s. The dividend yield is 8.5%, which is being paid out of its free cash flow. Barry Sternlicht is the CEO and the chairman of the board, and he is a sort of legendary investor. He's in his late 50s, so he still hopefully will be around for a while. If you're an income investor, I think that normally I would say an 8% yield means be careful. It's very, very high risk. And, you know, this stock could probably, you know, go down to 17, go down to its book value or whatever. But I think for a long-term investor who wants to get a outsized dividend return, I think it's pretty good bet.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
That's a buy on Starwood Property Trust, ticker symbol STWD. And I'd like to point out, my mother would have approved. She owned that stock in her portfolio. Next, for Brent in Chandler, Arizona, it's Royal Gold Incorporated. That's RGLD.
So I have always maintained that owning gold is a very speculative venture or any precious metals because it doesn't produce any. Now, Royal Gold is a precious metals streaming company. And that is a very interesting asset class. It's a small asset class. And if you want exposure to gold, I think streaming companies is the only way to go. Now, I don't own any of these companies, and Royal Gold is, you know, probably as good as some of the others. Some of the others would be Wheaton Precious Metals or Franco Nevada. But essentially what they do is a gold mining company wants to raise money to develop a mine. And they can either go – back in the day, they only had two choices. They could either borrow money or they could issue stock, which was dilutive. And both options are not particularly attractive because borrowing money is usually very, very expensive. So what these streaming companies do is they will give the mining company some upfront cash as well as contract to buy all the precious metals that come out of the mine for a predetermined price and a predetermined volume of that asset. So essentially what happens is you get the upside of the mine, and maybe it will do better than what people anticipate, and none of the downside. And also they contract to buy the gold or the silver, whatever the case may be, at a significant discount to the current price. So you have big leverage on the upside. And so I think it's a great way to own gold. If that's, you know, your cup of tea, it's not really my cup of tea, but it certainly is a very attractive way of going.
Yeah, we can't say that you love gold.
I love gold!
But for somebody who does, well, that would have been a buy.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Yes, it was a buy on Royal Gold Incorporated, RGLD. Josh in Petaluma, California wants to know about Licht Corporation. That's LICT Corporation. And the ticker symbol is the name, LICT.
So they're a rural local exchange carrier. It's a very good business that they run. It's a small business. Their market cap's about $200 million now. It's run by Mario Gabelli. He's also the major shareholder. The positives are it's a stable business. They have solid free cash flow. They have a strong balance sheet. And they've done a great job of growing their non-regulated business. The only thing I can say negative about it is that it's like the Hotel California. The stock is over $9,000 a share. It's thinly traded. you know, one or two shares trade sometimes over the course of several days. And so it's like the Hotel California. You may get in, but you may never come out. So if you're willing to hold this thing like forever, then I think it's a buy. If you think you may need the money in the next couple of years, stay away.
So it's a very qualified buy on LICT Corporation.
Buyer beware, dude.
Ticker symbol LICT. Joe in Colorado Springs wants to know about Valeant Pharmaceuticals International. It's VRX.
So this is a company that has had a lot of controversy. It had controversy because of their business model. They did roll-ups, which means that they kept buying other companies, and they used a lot of debt to fuel their aspirations. But the problem is that they also had, as part of their business model, was to spike up drug prices. As human beings, that was a bad thing. And then on top of that, it looks like they did some shenanigans with their accounting, and it all went terribly wrong. The stock has gone from 250 down to about 12. The problem with Valeant is that over the last 2 years, they've had $22 worth of write-offs. Their revenues are, you know, maybe at best around $9 billion, but they have $28 billion of debt. They're still losing money. Now, the stock ran up about 4 points from 8 to 12 recently because, quote unquote, they had a great quarter. They made some money. But that money, again, was sort of shenanigans. It had to do with just some tax credits that they got. So I would say stay away.
Put that one on the psycho list.
Yeah. Valeant Pharmaceuticals International is on a lot of people's psycho lists. And you just heard Martin LeClaire say stay away. And last, for Dave in Quincy, Massachusetts, it's Brookfield Renewable Partners. That's BEP.
Well, that's a stock that I own for my clients who need income. I would own more, but I tried buying it a few months back when it was a few points lower, and I put in limit orders, and so I only got a partial position purchase. Brookfield is a name that people should remember because they are probably the best managers of hard assets in the world. They're specialists in real estate, global infrastructure, and power generation. These are primarily a collection of hydroelectric dams, mostly in North America, but somewhat in Brazil as well. These are first-class assets run by first-class people, and it pays a very attractive dividend, about 5.9%, and that's gone up a little bit every year.
But it's the price here.
It's the price here. Yeah.
So it's a stock that you like. It's a good company. It's not quite a bad stock because that would be a sell, but it's a stock on which we can say that you're looking for a better entry point.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
There you have it. It's a hold looking for a better entry point on Brookfield Renewable Partners, BEP. And we can't take our time before we make our move. But before we make our move away from Martin LeClaire, we need to thank him. Martin, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
Martin LeClaire, everybody. He is the Chief Investment Officer, Portfolio Manager for Barrick Yard Advisors. BarrickYard.com, at Barrick Yard on Twitter. We'll be back to wrap up today's show and let you know what's coming for the rest of this week before we send you home. We'll do that right after this message.